Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this last Sunday after the Epiphany. Our readings for today, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, Psalm 150. Psalm 50, verses 1 to 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we come because You have called us. We come in the name of Jesus. We come to declare the Father's love. We come because You are worthy. We come because You are here. Lord, empower us with Your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge Your presence and to worship You alone. Amen. Lord, we have come to hear Your word, to sing Your praises, to be nurtured in our faith, and to learn more of You. But though we call You Lord, Your greatness is beyond our understanding. Your truth exceeds the reach of our minds. Your love far outstrips anything we have known as love before. We pray for Your people, that together we may all receive that all You are longing to give. In Jesus' name, Amen. We pray the collect for the last Sunday after the Epiphany, followed by our parish prayer. O God, who before the passion of Your only begotten Son revealed His glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of His countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have our reflection today. Our reflection is entitled Reaching for the Mountaintop. Reaching for the Mountaintop. In many parts of the Anglican Communion, this last Sunday after the Epiphany is called Transfiguration Sunday. All our readings today speak of some kind of change or transformation. Our Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 1 and 12, 1 to 12 describes the transformation of the prophet Elijah from the earthly realm to the heavenly via the chariot of fire. It also describes the transformation of Elisha from an assistant or disciple to the prophet to a full prophetic vocation as he received Elijah's mantle. Our epistle from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 to 6. Paul has to defend his conversion from Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle. Many in Corinth challenge his authority and authenticity as an apostle. He was not among the original 12 called by Jesus, hence the challenge to him referring to himself as an apostle. Paul responds to this challenge by reminding his readers that he is not proclaiming himself, but the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Paul affirms that he is an apostle, not a position of privilege, but that of a slave, serving the Corinthians for the sake of Jesus. He reminds his readers that he did not choose to be an apostle. He responded to a call from the risen Christ himself, hence his transformation from persecutor to apostle. His task was to reveal Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is good news for all. Our gospel from Mark chapter 9 verses 2 to 9 responds to the question and the focus of Mark's gospel: who is Jesus? Mark's description of the activities on the Mount of the Transfiguration should leave no doubt that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the one who embodied the law as represented by Moses and the prophets represented by Elijah. Jesus gives three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, a glimpse of the kingdom that was coming in power. Mark's description of what took place on this mountain bears many similarities with a story in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 to 18, when Moses ascended the holy mountain with his successor, Joshua. Jesus ascends a mountain with his inner circle of disciples, including Simon Peter, who is to lead the group after Jesus ascends to the Father. After 6 days, Moses enters the cloud at the top of the mountain. After 6 days, Jesus began his ascent up the mountain. In both readings, a cloud representing God's glory envelops the mountaintop. The writer of the book of Exodus describes the transformation, the physical transformation that took place in Moses. Having experienced the glory of God, his face shone. And so whenever he went out to the people to speak to them, he would cover his face. When they ascended the mountain, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured, changed in appearance before their eyes. Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, and his face shone with the brilliance of the sun. Without warning, Moses and Elijah appeared and conversed with Jesus. Peter suggests that three memorials be constructed to commemorate the occasion. He assumed that it was necessary to mark the event because for him, it was the highlight of his journey as a disciple. Peter, unfortunately, did not understand that that was another event to affirm that Jesus as the beloved Son of God and an invitation for them as disciples and for the world to listen to him. The event affirmed Jesus not only as the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, it affirmed Jesus as God's Son, the beloved Son, doing his Father's will. Simon Peter, James, and John needed no other evidence that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. That realization was to prepare them for what was to come, his suffering and death. Unfortunately, they were so caught up in their own survival that only John took the journey with Jesus to Calvary and stood at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women. Today, as we approach the season of Lent, a journey towards Easter and the resurrection, the church invites us to journey to the mountaintop during Lent. Let us take the opportunity that Lent affords to be still and know God. Our journey must be deliberate. We have to prepare ourselves for that journey. A quiet time and place, daily, a commitment to prayer, Bible study, and worship under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. An opportunity to seek out and respond to those in need, whether materially, emotionally, or spiritually, yielding our will to God's will, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us into the individual that God desires us to be. The poet William Cowper speaks of a closer walk with God. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee moan and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Holy Church invites us on this Sunday before Ash Wednesday to put things in place without the distraction of Carnival, to ready our hearts and minds for a journey to the mountaintop during Lent. We begin with penitence on Ash Wednesday, and every day in Lent we commit to spend time, quality time, communing with God through the Holy Spirit in prayer. We speak to God and in the silence allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We read and reflect on God's word and allow God to speak to us, and in faith and courage respond to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We commit to giving up some of the things that we rely on for pleasure, albeit temporary, and we abstain, conscious that the only necessary and essential item in our life is our relationship with God. Jesus invites us to seek first God's kingdom and its righteousness, and everything else will be yours as well. We have an opportunity during Lent to journey to the mountaintop and experience a transformation, a change in our outlook on life, a change in our priorities, perhaps even a physical transformation. The removal of the lines of worry and mistrust from our brow and replacing them with the smooth countenance of faith, hope, and love. A journey to the mountaintop will transform us. So the words of the poet will come alive for us. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame, so pure light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, by your Holy Spirit in the burning bush, in the chariots of fire, and in the tongues of flame, you have made your people partakers in the radiance of your transfigured one. Strengthen the hearts of your servants. Give us courage in temptation and comfort in desolation. Show us your paths in the desert, that we may find streams of living water. Make us a holocaust for your people, pure channels of your love, and receive us into the fire of your life. Amen. O Lord, in confidence of your great mercy and goodness to all that truly repent and resolve to do better, we most humbly implore the grace and assistance of the Holy Spirit to enable us to become every day better. Give us the wisdom and understanding to know our duty and the heart and will to do it. Endue us, O Lord, with the true fear and love of you, and with a prudent zeal for your glory. Increase in us the graces of charity and meekness, of truth and justice, of humility and patience, and a firmness of spirit to bear every condition with constancy and equality of mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Help of all who are helpless, we call on you in times of stress and in times of devastation. Pick up the broken pieces of our hearts, our homes, our history, and restore them to the way they were, or give us the means of starting over when everything seems lost. O God, our help in ages past, we place all our hope in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in that service, O God, we ask you to continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, this day and always. Amen. May you have a holy, spirit-filled journey to the mountaintop this Lent. Obey the regulations and be safe. God bless.